Okay, well, in about 2.5 weeks, Leo Varadkar will take over as Taoiseach, triggering a reshuffle, and the occupants of a few jobs, like finance and the office of Taoiseach itself, are known, but where else has the focus narrowed? Ciara Phelan, out with the crystal ball there. What's the speculation for the other portfolios? Who's whispering words of bigging themselves up into the ears of journalists to fuel the rumour mill?
I know, and it's going to go on and on until...
Or are you being asked, is there any mention of me?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you hearing anything about me? With the examiner we had in today, that what we understand and what we know is that Junior Minister for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, has made it clear that she would like to go into the Department of Children and put herself forward for looking after the integration of Ukrainian refugees and to oversee the accommodation situation there, as we understand it. So the Taoiseach and Eamon Ryan have made it clear that, you know, Roderick O'Gorman has done a fantastic job, but I suppose the issue has become bigger than expected. We have the government are expecting 70,000, over 70,000 Ukrainians to arrive into the country by the end of the year. And that's on top of, you know, a record arrival of other people seeking international protection. So Anne Rabbitt has put herself over for that job. Fair play to her. I would say no better woman, considering what she called out the HSE in her position as minister. It was rare that we saw that happening during the year in the Dáil. There's speculation over, of course, where the Taoiseach is going to go. If Simon Coveney is going to go to the agriculture brief. We understand that Fine Gael want the agriculture brief back. Don't know how Charlie McConlogue feels about that. Actually, I do. I know he doesn't want to leave it. He's been to every mart in the country. And yesterday I was speaking to him at a press conference, and he wouldn't be drawn on saying if he spoke to the Taoiseach directly on keeping his brief. But he said he is very, the Taoiseach's very much aware that I want to keep it.
Right.
There's also speculation on where the government chief whip, Jack Chambers, is going to go. Some believe that he should go to Department of Health, which would possibly see the demotion of Stephen Donnelly. People believe that Jack Chambers might want to go to the Department of Health because he did an interview in the Irish Independent earlier this year about how he changed his stance on abortion.
Right.
And he's
a qualified doctor.
He's a qualified doctor, yes. But Stephen Donnelly would say that he wants to stay in health. And a good point that he makes, actually, is that when you're in that department, it takes a good year to wrap your head around how it works and working with relationships with officials, etc. So that's his argument.
Sure, that's an argument for no reshuffle. Leon, you're a veteran of a reshuffle.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why it comes to me first. Yeah, well,
The incoming Taoiseach, I think, has expressed perhaps a more amenable view to the issue of decriminalisation than the outgoing one.
Yeah, but we'll see how that. Yeah, I do feel sorry for, well, I don't know how sorry I should feel for those who are walking around in their new suits and their new outfits and their haircuts and all the rest with their big and big.
Do you look back with nostalgia?
I do a little bit, yeah. Yeah, I remember getting the call and it was very exciting and all the rest of it.
But is there any changes you'd like seen, even changes to substantive ones like two portfolios? Does Roderick O'Gorman have too much on his plate, which has been one of the things
we did call for at the beginning of the Ukrainian crisis, a point person within that department? I think what happened with that department was a good move. I think moving integration and then asylum area away from the Department of Justice was a positive move. I think that government did that right and had the right person in charge of it. I felt the Department of Justice is a very security minded department, law and order, etc. They don't have the humanitarian feel for what is needed. And I think Roderick O'Gorman, yes, he is in a very busy department and probably needs a point person, a point junior minister that is solely to cut across housing and the current department that Roderick O'Gorman oversees in order to deliver what needs to happen. I would say this much though on the changeover is I have concern about how the tone of government is going to change, because I think what we've had over the last 2.5 years, and in fairness to government, they've had the pandemic. They've had the Ukrainian crisis.
I detect a but coming up.
Oh, there's a big but coming. There has been a level of governance and there's been a level of stability. I fear now, come the 17th of December, if it is going to be the 17th of December, that there's going to be a level of electioneering from here on in. We've already had two gaffes from the incoming Taoiseach in the last week, one about faraway hills being greener and another one relating to
reference to people who thought maybe going abroad for work.
Another one about arming the Gardaí, and he hasn't even gotten the job yet. And the problem with Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach is that he has a destabilising influence, and I fear that we're going to step into electioneering.
I think we can't leave that one unanswered. Mary Siri Kearney, the excitable Leo Varadkar is potentially not good for stability.
I think the current Taoiseach and soon to be Taoiseach on the 17th of December was an incredibly stable person who steered our country.
A stable genius, as Donald Trump once said.
At the beginning of the COVID, his words, his stability, his reassurance to the country brought a level of reassurance in at a time of incredible panic and fear in our country. So I have no fears about him coming into as regards the Garda and arming the Garda. His comments were, if he were asked, he would support it if he were asked by the actual Gardaí. So he wasn't presuming anything on in and of himself. It was in relation to if it were sought by the Gardaí themselves and by the Garda
Commissioner. But Mary,
themselves.
You know, if well, his answer, he knew what was going to come out of that. There's a way of avoiding
that
question.
He responds.
I've asked plenty of politicians, so I have, and ministers, questions, provocative questions, and they know exactly what they're looking for. They're around years. They know what the headline's going to be. He didn't have to answer that. He could have pivoted and avoided it. He's a professional at doing it.
He's also someone who's very straight in the answers when he's asked a question and answers before the question that he is asked.
Before I go to Matt Shannon on this, are you hoping for a return to the good old days of when senators like Jim Doogue were preferred for cabinet? Do you hold any hope for the like?
I can tell you something with great assurance, and that is that my name is nowhere on the table.
Confident. At least that's a departure from the usual answer of that, of course, my fate lies in the hands of the Taoiseach. Matt Shannon, what do you think needs to change in terms of portfolios, if anything, or personalities, if anyone?
Well, I think firstly, the Taoiseach is coming into the brief having been Taoiseach before, so I suppose we kind of probably have an idea what we might be able to expect, albeit it's in a coalition government. I think Fianna Fáil will probably consider that they've had a pretty strong performance from their front bench ministers. I don't think they'll be looking for demotion. That's not to say that there won't be changes, but I think that they'll feel that everybody has performed to a fair degree, and maybe the Greens will feel that also. So there's going to be a degree of horse trading is going to have to occur here. And obviously there are some people probably on the back benches who feel that their time should be coming now. And that's the political piece that the Taoiseach is going to have to play around with in terms of trying to balance that out. But make no mistake, the country is going to be in a very different place in the first quarter of next year. And the last thing we want now is what Aidan said, people going off electioneering. This is not the time now to be trying to throw a spanner into the works of government. There's a commitment there to continue on, certainly for another 18 months to 2 years. I think this government needs to start to see out some of the activities that it's taken on board. And I don't think there'll be too much change, to be honest. If I was to look at it, I can't see major change happening at the front bench level. I think it's probably a maximum, maybe 3 ministers maximum, I would say, across the board.
All right.
Well, my point about electioneering is this tiresome Sinn Féin referencing that Leo Varadkar does, and then, you know, on the other side, and it becomes, I don't mean electioneering as in we're going to be facing into an election. I mean that the tone of government will be more point scoring, more sniping.
Leo Varadkar.
I disagree, in actual fact, it's the leader of the opposition and the main opposition party. I disagree, actually, because I don't have any interest in, you know, promoting either side. But what I observe is this, so it's sort of, you know, mutually beneficial squabbling between both sides.
But that's the structure of the day's debate.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Leader's questions is leader against leader.
You can't stand up in the Shannon without a Sinn Féin sniping.
Okay, well, I'm not.
But my
point is this. If you, you know, the soon-to-be Taoiseach has to move beyond this rhetoric of attacking one particular political party in opposition when trying to, I suppose, to support his own point of view. His party have been in government now for 11 years. He has to move beyond just saying, well, we're not Sinn Féin.
Are you having a pop at him?
Absolutely. Well,
Is that not part of the thing you've just described?
I remember challenging him before once on his post on social media that he had spoken more about Sinn Féin than he had about youth unemployment. And he had made 12 references in the period of time that I was able to isolate. about Sinn Féin and made none about youth unemployment. So the things that he is responsible for are very profoundly important for people in Irish society. He's going to be Taoiseach of the country.
Sinn Féin aren't here. They're still doing well on the mentions front, though. Mary
and he has been Taoiseach of the country and leader of party that has seen the country come to the highest level of employment in the history of the state, and that has overseen the bringing in of a cost of living budget in response to an unprecedented Ukrainian crisis and economic crisis arising and flowing from that, and also flowing from COVID. He has a very stable pair of hands in every possible way.
I actually disagree with you, because like whatever about Leo Varadkar and Mary Lou MacDonald going for one another head to head, Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald do that as well. It's very much tit for tat. Like, we've seen very touchy exchanges. But the point that I would make, whatever about the opposition, I think it's going to be really interesting to see the change in the relationship between the coalition partners, particularly Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, once Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach. He's already out saying that he wants to change housing for all policies regarding the tax, there was mention of tax break for developers, more rapid building. You know, he also mentioned about this 30% income tax band. So he's already trying to make changes before he stepped into that role. And I think that has rubbed Fianna Fáil ministers up the wrong way, particularly Dara O'Brien, who has for weeks said that he's not going to review the housing targets. Now it's going to happen. So I think that'll be interesting. And the point, I know you're saying not about election, but electioneering. That is going to change when Leo Varadkar gets back in. And we have to actually, the point is that he is coming in as a difficult time as well, whatever about his performance in the Dáil Éireannacha and when he was Taoiseach with COVID. But it'll be very interesting, because we're in for a very rocky road in terms of job losses next year. Yeah. We've seen it already coming through in the tech sector. And then we're going to have the continued fallout of the war in Ukraine. So he'll probably be judged on those.
And I think, and there's a sense that I have, that government up to now has been able to, to a degree, adopt a statesmanlike attitude to, firstly, COVID, and we had 2.5 years nearly of that, and the Ukraine crisis, and we've had this social solidarity where Ireland has been, everybody's been together in this. And I think that probably what's going to happen now after Christmas, that effect I think is going to have worn off, and I think we will see the real politique next year. But I think it's important for government to remember that they are tied at the hip in terms of the programme for government. They have entered into pretty significant objectives for the country. I don't think the country and the voting public will thank them for tearing that asunder.
And the figures that were out today, the Eurostat flash on inflation, saying that, okay, the inflation is stabilising, but it's still in double figures. That's probably more of a pressing concern to most people rather than who populates the various ministerial chairs, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was at an IBEC meeting earlier this evening where Danny McKay was talking about, I suppose, the international atmosphere at the moment and the need for countries, unfortunately, to be forced into recession in order to try and counter the inflationary spike that's happening globally at the moment. And that's not good news for Ireland, no more than anywhere else. And the question is, how low, how fast can it come down? How low can it go? Because we've had the historic thing, which is the European Central Bank of 2% annual inflation per year being the preferred. We're way, way above that now. And the question is, in terms of some of the energy prices are coming back, but we have other prices that are now built into the economy. It's very difficult to see when they're going to start to ameliorate anytime soon.
Right. Sounds like a time for managing expectations rather than making bigger promises, Mary Siri Kearney.
I think that what is really important is that the budget that was announced is one that is completely and utterly funded and not borrowed for, that we have yet to see the majority of the effects that were planned. And
you don't see supplementary budget next year by any chance, do you, with the cost of living the way it is?
That most certainly isn't my call, but it is possible. But at least if there is a necessity for a budget in response to a worsening economic situation, there is going to be money in reserve to be able to meet that, that will not have to be borrowed, that there is money there, that there are billions set aside in order to ensure that we have that. And that comes from prudent management under Pascal Donoghue over the last number of years and under a Fine Gael government, ensuring that there is economic stability.
$1 billion worth of tax cuts for those who don't need it.
Okay, all right, back in a minute.
That puts money in
the Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.